Well, glory be. Grace may not lead you there, but grace won't leave you there. Amen? It sure won't. Miss Tanya, I was thinking when you were saying that, you know, our mess-ups don't have to mess us up, huh? Nor the mess-ups of others. Amen? Amen and amen. Well, church, it is good to be with y'all today. I've been looking forward to this opportunity for quite some time. Brother Nick, thank you for sharing your pulpit, your sweet flock that the Lord has given you to love and lead with us. You at Longinot are part of us. We have been with y'all, I can't tell you how many times through the years. We're ever grateful for Brother Matt White for introducing us to y'all and the opportunity to be able to come out and fellowship. It's been a little while. I think it's been working on almost 6 years, if I'm not mistaken. That's crazy, isn't it? How time will go by like that. And I got to work with Brother Nick and his family, I think it's nearly 8 years ago. These boys have grown up since then. But what a sweet joy it is to be able to come and fellowship with y'all and open up the Word of God and celebrate the goodness of the Lord. It's always a joy for me to have my pretty bride with me. Some of y'all know her as Stephanie and some of y'all know her as Honey. And our grand arrows call her Honey. And some of them call her BB because they can't say Honey yet. So they call her BB. And so she's got the nickname of Honey BB. That's what the Grand Arrows call her. Since we've been with y'all, we're up to number 8 on those Grand Arrows. And what a joy they are. Huh? I've been seeing pictures of little babies up here. That's y'all's, huh? I can show you pictures of mine too. Amen. Look, I tell you what, they are a treat and a great delight. And there's been a lot of things that have gone on since the last time we were with y'all. I think the last season, last year we were with y'all, were somewhere around 2017, if I'm not mistaken. And since then, the Lord has just done unique and marvelous things. I was thinking about God's grace. You know, His grace is always sufficient for all things. Amen. No matter what you go through, no matter what you face, you can always say when you're a child of the King, it is well. It is well. Many of you have been through very difficult days and difficult times. And something that we don't always recognize is that the good thing that the Lord gives us is often a hard thing. And that's important for us to know way up front in our walk with Jesus. The good thing is often a hard thing. Psalm 84:11 tells us that God will withhold no good thing from them that walk uprightly with Him. But that good thing often comes cloaked or clothed in a very difficult a hardship in life. But the whole point of it is that God's grace is always transforming and conforming us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us that the Lord is always delivering the living, those who have life in the Lord, the living. He's always delivering us over to death that the life of Christ can be manifested out of our mortal flesh. So walking with Jesus is no light matter. It's not an easy thing, even though He invites us to yoke with Him and learn from Him. And His yoke is light and His burden is easy to bear. But when you're walking through those difficulties of life, it's always used to make us more like Him. And we can't help but praise Him for that. Amen. So we give him glory. So I invite you today to turn with me to the book of Acts. We are journeying at Briggs Chapel. And I come today with their blessings. It is a joy to be their pastor and shepherd and love on them and lead them. But our church is walking through the book of Acts right now. We're actually up to chapter number 15. But I want y'all to turn to chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse number 20 is where we're going to look at today. You know, the scriptures teach us to study. The idea has, when it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. The word study means to, the idea is really to be earnest and eager with an expectation that we have the calling on our life to transfer life to people, the words of life to those that God brings in our path. Ephesians says, let no corrupt word proceed out of our mouth except that which is fitting for edification, to build up the body. When God gives a man or a woman a word, it's always to edify and build up his people. That's the gifting of the Lord. Every spiritual gift that we empowered of by the Spirit of God in the body of Christ is to edify the body, to build the body up. And that passage we just read a few minutes ago out of 2 Timothy 3, that all scripture is inspired or breathed by God for doctrine. What does that do? It gives us clarification. Clarification from God, how he sees a thing. Because how many of you want to walk and live by faith? And all God's people said, what does it mean to operate or to live by faith? Well, one, faith only cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. See, when we operate in faith, it is because we see, agree, and act on what God's revealed to us. He's made a revelation to us. He's given us a word. And that's what his word does. It brings clarification that we see things how he sees it. Of course, we're not going to see everything. And we're not seeing everything that he sees. But I don't have to see everything. I just need to see what he's showing me, what he's speaking to me. And his word gives clarification, but it also brings conviction, reproof. It's going to convict us when my way doesn't line up with the clarification of God's way. And it brings correction in our life to correct us unto God's way. And then it brings confirmation that it may lead us in the path of righteousness for God's glory, that all his people may be thoroughly furnished and equipped for every good work that God has given us to do, so that we can have consumable, livable, live fruit flowing off of our life that is like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that the fruit of God just flows out of us, that people can eat the goodness of the Lord. Amen? The goodness of the Lord. But this is a particular life that we have been given. And when you consider the idea of what Paul was telling Timothy when he said that, study to show thyself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed. The verse previous to that, this is what he told him. He said, put them in remembrance to consider this, that they are not to strive about to words that have no profit, that are lifeless, that are vain, that are empty. There's no life in them whatsoever. And that is the group of people for whom Paul told Timothy in the first part of 2 Timothy 2 that he was to commit these things that he had heard and learned and seen in the apostles' life to men who are able and apt to teach. And he says, brother, when you do that, you're going to have to go through some suffering. And he says that you're going to have to strive in this, that no soldier who enlists himself in the war entangles himself with the affairs of this life. What does he do? He wants to be loyal to him who's called him into service. And that's a struggle. Even in teaching the Word of God to people that love God as much as Brother Nick loves God, as much as I would love him, and as much as you would love him, there's still going to be what? You still have the clarity of God's Word coming in your life. You're still going to have the conviction of God's Word entering in, the correction of it, and the confirmation of it. And that creates what? A crisis of conviction with me when my life doesn't line up with it. So even able-minded people who are to take the word will often resist the word, and therefore as the servant of the Lord, we've got to be what? We have to strive. And then he said, like you're running a race, right? He says, nobody that runs a race will win a crown unless he runs according to what? There's no shortcuts, just put it that way. You got to run the course. You got to run according to the rules. You have to stay to the course that is given. You can't try. How many of you ever tried to cheat in a race before? You cut the corner. Nobody was looking and you tried to cut it, right? Well, I want to tell you, there are no shortcuts in the kingdom. Amen. And there are no shortcuts in the race God's given us to do. And that's why we can't try to take shortcuts in this. And then he says that the good, hard-working farmer must be the first one to partake of the fruit before he shares his fruit with everybody else. Look, there's no substitutes, And there is no way that you can get around this, is that there's no shortcuts, and you got to strive in being a student of the Word of God. Amen? Why? Because anything less than that, what does it produce? Death. It's empty. It's vain. Y'all remember that guy Job that we read about in the book of Job? Job had him some friends, didn't he? And what was those friends, what was the deal with those friends in Job's life? What did they keep trying to get at Job? They didn't understand him, right? Number one, they didn't understand what was going on in his life. Number two, and there was no way that they had a good understanding of who God is, because they said God would never do what God was doing to Job during that time frame, right? And Job gets to a place where he gets frustrated with it all. And he finally says in chapter 31, I want a court date with the Almighty. I want to plead my cause before him. Well, God shows up in chapter 38 and says, here's your court date. I want you to, let's talk about it, and I want you to think about it this way. And this is what he said, that he saw the counsel of those three friends as the counsel they gave him was lifeless and full of darkness. There was no life in it. All they transferred was vanity and the emptiness. I don't want to be like that. Amen. Therefore, I need to hear from who? I need to hear from the Lord if I'm going to transfer the life of the Lord to people that God's given me to love on and lead. Amen. And that same thing applies to you and me. So, Brother Nick, we can be earnest. We can be eager. We could be expecting. We could be excited about the fact that, hey, God's given us a revelation to get in. And if I'm going to teach and preach with power, number one, it has to stand on the authority of the Scriptures, of the Word of God. And it must be empowered by the Spirit of God. Amen. When you think about preaching, you think about, or we ought to think about, there's a difference. How many of y'all know there's a difference between preaching and teaching? How many of y'all believe all good preaching ought to have an element of teaching in it? And all good teaching ought to have some sort of preaching in it. Amen. It ought to go hand in hand when we share in the Word of God. What preaching does, by the most part, preaching is usually the means that God uses to introduce men either unto himself, unto his ways, unto things, or cause them to remember something that they put aside. But preaching usually warns us. Anytime you see the disciples going out in the book of Acts, they kept preaching and teaching, preaching and teaching, preaching and teaching. And preaching is designed by God to introduce us to him and move us, to stir us, to move us. Where teaching is where the instruction of wisdom is imparted to help us get to where God's moving us. And all God's people said? So you and I are called to be preachers and teachers of the Word. Everybody in here are preachers and teachers of the Word. Let me tell you a couple ways you preach, and you may not even realize it. Number one, how many of you ever taken the Lord's Supper before? You know, the Bible says every time we partake of the table and partake of the Lord's Supper, we preach. Every time you take of it, it's a visual proclamation of what the Lord came to do, what the Lord is doing, and a promise of his return. You preach every single time you take the Lord's Supper. Well, let me ask you this. How many of you ever been to a funeral before? How many of you have ever heard the preacher say they preached their own message? And the life, death, you know why? Because we all do. And all God's people said? Everybody here preaches their own funeral service. Yes, you may, Brother Nick may stand up and honor your life and glorify the Lord and share things about you, but every day you live, every action, every attitude, every affirmation, everything you and I do is proclaiming something. Either I am in love with Jesus or I have neglected Jesus. Either I'm walking with Jesus or I'm walking according to my flesh. Everything you do is an act or an attitude or even your aptitude of the things of God, declare a message. Either is Jesus worthy to trust, or I'm going to trust in myself. And you've heard this said before too. Some people, when you do stand at a homegoing service, you've probably heard this before, is that some people just preach a better message than others. Why? Because of who they trusted and who they walked with. So whether you stand in a pulpit, on a street corner, or some tent, or in some mission field, or right in your community, or on the pew you're sitting on today, everybody in here is going to preach some sort of message. And they're going to teach something, whether Jesus is worth it to have my all. Amen. Acts chapter 5, let's look at it. Acts 5 and verse number 20. The context of it is that the apostles have been doing what God has called them to do. The leaders and the elders of Jerusalem have taken them and they have put them in a jail cell. They've locked them up. They've shut them up. They've done everything they could to keep them silent. They didn't want them to preach anymore. They didn't want them in the public anymore. They didn't want them before the people anymore. They shut them down. And then during the night, notice what it says. It says in verse number 19, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth. And this is what the angel said. Go. Stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Go. Stand and speak in the temple all the words of this life. Y'all pray with me. Father, we thank you today and just want to bend our knee before you and praise you for your goodness and your kindness and your gentleness with us. We pray that as you speak to us today that we would recognize and hear that you have done something and given us this grace and this truth in Christ, and that you've given us something to say. You've given us something to speak. You've given us something to live. You've given us a way that is contrary and opposed to every other way of living in this world. And I pray that you help us just in these few moments as we spend a little time digging around in your word, that Lord, you would empower this today for your glory and for your namesake, and that you would stir and move in your people and then give them the means how to act on it in faith before you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go and stand and speak in the temple all the words of this life. One thing that we have to recognize and come to the conclusion on, we don't add Jesus to anything. We don't add him to our life. We don't invite him into our life and then we live out the life we want it to live and just add Jesus to it. That's not this life that he's talking about here. The Bible is clear that when a man comes to Jesus, that man is to what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and what? Follow after him. It's not that Jesus is a part of my life. It's not that Jesus to be the most important part of my life. It's not even the fact that Jesus is to be the best part of my life. No, Jesus is our life. Amen. There is no life apart from him. And we don't invite him into our lives to go do our thing with his name upon it. No, we surrender our life to him. That's just what he's telling them to do. These men had surrendered themselves to him. They had laid it on the altar and given it to him. And they've gone about preaching his name, teaching who he is. And the people didn't want anything to do with it. And the very ones that were going against them and complaining against them, now he sends them right back to them to go to share the words of this life. This is a life. This life has words. that describe this life, sayings that declare what this life is. And I can't know what this life is without having a relationship with Him. Number two, I can't know what this life is without having the revelation from Him, light from Him, truth from Him. And I'll never know what it is until I lay my life down and I die to who I am and take up what He's given me to walk in. I'll never fulfill this mission in my life. Go and speak. Go and stand. Go and speak all the words of this life. You're going to a hostile group of people that don't know anything about this life. You're going to a group of people that can't understand this life. Remember, Jesus said, they don't understand me, they don't know me, and they're not going to know and understand you. They're going to think they're doing God a favor when they what? Put you in jail. They're going to think they're doing God's favor when they cut your head off. They're going to think they're doing God's favor when they take up the stones and stone you like they did Stephen. They're going to treat you the way they treated me. They didn't know me and they're not going to know you, but that doesn't keep you from going and telling them all the words of this life. Amen. And I want to tell you, He has called us. This goes right along with the Great Commission. What did He tell them in Matthew chapter 28? What did He tell them in Mark 16? What did He tell them in Luke 24? He says, go into all the world and make disciples of all the hostiles, of all the nations, and teach them those things which I taught you. And what He said? He said, baptize them in the name of who? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're not going to know what to do with you when you come. They're going to think you're crazy when you come. But see, if God doesn't empower it, if God doesn't prepare them, if God doesn't get involved in it, you and I are just wasting our time in doing it. That's why we pray when we enter out into the mission field. That's why we pray in a service like this. Why? We got to have God's power upon it. Amen. Yes, we need the presence of Jesus. We need God in our life. Yes, we need the purpose of the Scriptures in our life. But I want to tell you, we need the Spirit. We need the power of God in our life. Amen. Isn't that how Jesus lived? Wasn't He God in the flesh? Wasn't He full of grace and truth? But didn't the Spirit, Brother Nick, come upon Him and anoint Him to preach glad tidings to the poor? And that's why Jesus in Luke 24 says, look, you've got Me. And you can't have salvation apart from Him. You got to have His presence in your life. But then He opened the Scriptures to them, Brother Nick, and gave them the comprehension to understand those Scriptures. But He told them to tarry, to wait in Jerusalem until they were what? Endued with power from? That's right, from on high. Because if our Savior functioned by the power of the Spirit, His body cannot help but function by the power of the Spirit. Yes, was Jesus God in flesh? Yes, He was. Do we have God in this flesh? Yes, we do. Do we have the purpose of His Scriptures that He opens up and teaches about Himself to give clarification, conviction, and correction, and confirmation on how to live? Yes, but none of it has life to transfer unless the Spirit is upon it. Amen. So when we go forth and preach in our homes and teach in our homes, we need the presence of God, the purpose of His revelation, and the power of His Spirit in everything we do. Amen. If we're going to be those authentic witnesses that testify to this life that He's given us. I think about Moses. I think about Moses. You remember what God did with Moses? God preserved his life in a very difficult and hard time of the nation of Israel while they was in Egypt. God raised him up in Pharaoh's palace. God instructed him. He was instructed in all the ways of Egypt and had mighty words and mighty deeds. And when Moses went out and did something in his own power and own strength, y'all remember what happened on that day? Remember, Moses was ready to step out and do something, but he was going out on his own strength to do it. And when he looked and saw an Egyptian and an Israeli, an Israelite fighting with one another, what did Moses do? What did he do? But what did he do before then? The Scriptures tell us that Moses in Exodus chapter 2. He walked out and he saw it happening. And the scripture says Moses looked this away. And Moses looked that away. And Moses looked this away. And Moses looked that away. And nobody was looking. But one fatal mistake he made. He didn't look up. He didn't look up. He didn't look up. And what he did horizontally on this earth and defended his brother and killed that Egyptian and buried him, what he did then had no life in it whatsoever, because his vertical relationship from God was off. What he did in this world was off. And the same thing applies for you and me. Amen? Too often we're looking around what people are looking at. We're looking at how they are treating us, or how they treating one another, or can we do this, or can we do that, instead of looking up and knowing that God is able. I'm not able, but God's calling upon me has made me able because He's able. Amen? And God's given me something I can't do. I can't do a God divine assignment apart from God's help. Amen? I need His anointing. I need His authority. I need His power upon that. So I need Him to do this work in me. And I got to quit looking this away and that away. And I need to start looking what? I need to start looking up. Looking on to him. And when Moses started looking up, man, God did marvelous things in his life, and not only his, but everybody that walked with Moses was influenced by the God who was called God Almighty. Amen. The I Am who sent him, the one who empowered him and authorized him and gave him a command to go. And that same command has been given to you and I to go and go preach. And go teach in the living name of Jesus. Amen. Are there going to be obstacles to do it? Yes. Will there be opposition to it? Yes. But we serve the great I Am. Amen. He's the Alpha and the first and the last. You know what that means? He had the first word over you. He'll have the last word over you. Since I've been with y'all, and I appreciate y'all praying for me, because I know y'all have. Back in 2018, I was diagnosed with leukemia and went for right at a year and a half before I saw really any kind of indications of it. There's a good chance I had it for 4 or 5 years before I even knew it. Just a random blood test that was taken identified that something was wrong, going wrong inside of me. And from there, they diagnosed me with that. It's called CLL, a form of leukemia. Well, back in 2020, and I know many of you prayed for us going through that, I went through a stage of chemo for about 6 months and did really well through that, praise the Lord. Seen very little to no side effects or trouble whatsoever going through that. It wasn't me, it was people around us that were lifting us up before God, and God was using it. Just another avenue, another way. He put me around people I'd have never been around. He put me in places I would have never been. He put me around other hurting people that I'd never been around. It was just another door He opened up for me to walk in, to be a witness for Him in a new area of life, with new people in this life. Well, when they diagnosed us, I can remember telling Stephanie, they were testing me with all kind of stuff. Brother Nick, they came in and said, look, something's going on. We want to do a little further examination. We want to take some more blood. And they brought these big old vials, 4 of them in there, about this big. And they started drawing blood off of me. And she knew, I knew something was going on that we just didn't know about. And then they want to question us, saying, man, have you been out of country? Well, we just got back from Hawaii. Have you been skinning deer? Have you been fooling with squirrels? Have you been doing this? Have you been doing that? They thought I picked up some kind of virus or some kind of parasite or something, because my white blood count was just out of the window. It was like 174,000 when the norm was around 6. So they knew something was up. But as I told her, Before the doctor come in with the diagnosis, I looked at her and told her these words. We both said, it is well. No matter what they tell us, it is well. Why? I serve the Alpha and Omega, amen. I serve the God who had the first word over my life, and he's going to have the last word over me, amen. Nick doesn't have the first word or last word over me. Cancer don't have the last word over me. The old devil, he won't give you no disclaimer. He ain't going to tell you he don't have the last word over you, but he don't. Amen. I promise you that. This world you live in don't have the last word over you. And your flesh don't have the last word over you. God's got the last word over you. And you can trust him through all things and everything. Why? Because God often brings the hard thing, though it be a good thing, what he's bringing you in and through. Well, just recently, 3 years to the date of starting chemo, they put me on a new pill. It's not a cancer pill. It's a targeted medicine that treats me like cancer because my numbers are back up again. They're climbing. Every 3 months I go for blood work, and every time I've gone, my numbers are doubling. So they put me on this targeted medicine. And I'm on it right now. And I don't know how long I'll be on it. It's an indefinite type thing until I'm done. But I trust in a living King. Amen. And I'm going to walk with him, and I'm going to stand for him, and I'm going to talk for him. I'm going to teach for him, and I'm going to keep going and going until he calls me home. Now, can I do it by myself? Do I need the brethren? Yes. Do I need the presence of God upon my life? Yes. Do I need the Spirit of God to empower me? Yes. Do I need you to be interceding and praying with me? Yes. Don't we all need one another? Amen. Ain't none of us in this by ourselves. Amen. None of us. And you see, that's the neat new life that we've been given in the Lord. Go and speak the words of this life. Go. God, that mandate is a mandate of urgency. Go right now. Go. You being in this prison, yeah, could God use them in that prison? Yes, he would have. But God had a greater means for them to get in that temple where those people were and to speak to them, just like he tells us to go. How many of you go every day of your life, usually? How many of you go to Walmart? Raise your hand. How many of y'all try to avoid Walmart? Raise your hand. How many of y'all go to one of these other little grocery stores? How many of y'all like them Dollar Generals? I think everybody likes Dollar Generals. They're everywhere. Are you with me? How many of y'all go to school? Raise your hand. How many of y'all teach at school? Raise your hand. How many of y'all go to the gym and work out? Come on, Brother Nick. Stephanie and I don't go to the gym either. How many of y'all go out to eat on a regular basis? How many of y'all go out and eat more than you should? How many of y'all go to the grandkids' ball games? How many of y'all go to family functions? How many of y'all go to or go on vacation? You know, the urgency is this. You're already going. While you go, make this the priority of your life. Go make disciples for me. Amen. Go preach and teach. Go preach and teach. Go make disciples for me. You're already going. But you see, you have to go with a new mindset. And if you're not careful, we'll be like Moses. We're going, but we're just looking here and we're what? Looking there, but we're not what? Looking up. See, looking up keeps us on focus, keeps us with a priority, and he told his men to go. Go. God always has a place in our going to go. He sent them to the temple. He may not send you to the temple. He may send you to the ballpark, or he may send you across the street to the neighbor. He may send you down the road to another neighbor. He may send you clear across the county to somebody else. But when God sends you, he always is going to send you to a place that has people there. Because God came to save and seek that which is. And it's only people that are lost. Amen. So he's going to send you to places. He's going to send you to people. And when you go, he wants you to go stand firm on your stand on him. If this is all the words of the life, you need to be standing on them. Amen. You got to be standing on them. If you want to know them, you got to study them. Amen. I know, Brother Nick, you like studying, Brother Nick. Did you ever like studying? It must be the name Nick, because I was never a studier either. Must be. But the idea is not necessarily just study. The idea is you do what you do so that you can impart life, and you do it earnestly and eagerly with an expectation that God's going to give you exactly what you need to give away. That's the key. That what you do speak is not only speaking lifeless, empty, dead things before others, but you speak life. You speak life. So you got people, you got a place, and you have a purpose. And that is to speak the words of this life. The people you're going to don't live that life. The people he's sending you to won't see that life unless God does something in their heart so that they can see. You know, I think it was Jesus said, no man can see the kingdom or enter the kingdom unless he be what? Born again. Amen. So who are we dependent on for God to do a work in people's life? Are we dependent on them? No. Who we depend on? We're dependent on God to do it. You see, but I can't depend on God to do it if I'm not depending on God to send me where he wants me to go and to say what he wants me to say, to speak what he wants me to speak, to live what he wants me to live, because this is not just words. It's words that engulf a life that is lived out for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a particular life. And the only people in the world that live it are the saints of God, are the people of God. So are you unique and rare in this world we live in? Oh, yes, we are. We belong to the Most High, amen. And we've been given what we need to walk in, given what we need to share, given what we need to live this life that he's given us. Go speak the words of this life. So practically, that means you got to step out. Amen. If you're going to go, you got to step out. You got to speak up. There is no other way to do it. If you live a life without words, everybody's going to think it's you doing it. So you got to tell them who's doing it in you. Amen. You got to give who the glory for it. You got to explain this life. So you got to speak up and you got to show forth. You have to show forth who gave you this life and the life that he's given you to live. Something I've seen consistently through this book of Acts as I've been walking through it, and I've been through it quite a few times through the years, just day by day. Y'all know how we work in our nesting with Jesus. We read a chapter a day through a Bible book a day until we get through that book, and then we move into something else. And I normally teach, and everything I teach is going to be around normally what we're walking through and reading. And what I see consistently with these disciples in the book of Acts is three things you're going to see. Number one, they opened their mouth wherever they went. They opened their mouth. Number two, they opened their Bibles. Everything they said, they tied it back to the foundation of the Word of God, and they stood on it. But the third thing they did is they opened their lives to how this Word and this Savior has transformed them. And that's what they kept doing. They kept testifying and demonstrating by the Scriptures what Jesus has done in their life. So they kept opening their mouths, opening their Bibles, and opening up their lives to scrutiny, to ridicule, to risk. It didn't matter to them. Why? They had a Redeemer. Amen. They had a Redeemer who set them free. And this passage is very, how do I want to say it? It can be very symbolic in every aspect of our life. The scripture says that the angel of the Lord came in. And what is an angel? An angel is a minister of the Lord, a flaming spirit, a messenger of God, right? A messenger of God. And what did that messenger do? That messenger opened the door and told them to go, stand and speak in the temple all the words of this life. Well, I want to tell you, I come today as a messenger, like the angel entered in. And this old world you live in, this society we live in, has a way. If you're not careful, if you're not diligent and earnest in these things, you know what they'll do? They'll shut you up. They'll silence you. They'll put you in the corner and lock you up. But I want to come to you from the highest of the highest. I want to come to you from the highest judge over all heaven and earth. I want to come to you today in the sweet name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for whom all power and authority in heaven and upon earth have been given to him. And I come as a messenger of his to tell you the door's been opened. And you go. The door's open. I come as a messenger today to tell you, don't let them try to keep you quiet. When they want to talk about marriage, tell them what God says about marriage. Amen. When they want to talk about homosexuality, tell them what God has said about it. When they want to talk to you about the goodness of man, tell them what God told you about the goodness of man. Is man good? There ain't none good, right? There's only one who's good, and that's who? That's right. What is man? Man is what? Fallen. If they want to talk to you about all these things, look, let them talk to you about it. But don't let them silence you and put you in. Look, the highest judge in all the courts has told you the door is open. Open your mouths, open the Bible, and open your life, and go share what he's been telling you. Amen? Go. Go to where the people are and tell them all the words of this life. And they start saying, well, what about this? And they're going to say, what about that? You don't have to have the answers for everything, but you do need to have a story to tell them that, hey, this is what he's done in your life. Amen. And why did he do it? How did he do it? You need to have a foundation of the truth, the Bible, the Word of God to stand upon, and you go proclaim it. Just keep opening your mouth. Keep loving people and leading them to Jesus. Amen. Keep leading them. You know, people tell you that they don't need to be in a fellowship today. Y'all hear that? They don't need a church. They don't need to be under the authority of a pastor. You just stand on the Word. Amen. Stand on the Word. Say, well, look, I know for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And God says that he's got a family out there that I belong to. God says he's got a people that I belong to. God says he's got an assembly of his bride, and God thinks a whole lot about his bride. Amen. I want to tell you what, if you talk much about my bride and you want to ridicule her, I might knock your teeth out. Amen. If you want to harm her or hurt her, you're going to have to go through me first. And I want to tell you, we got a defender. Amen. You don't have to go defend Jesus. He'll defend himself. Get that out of your head. You don't have to defend his acts. You don't have to defend what he done. You don't have to defend what people say he don't do. Just go tell him what he's done for you and what he said he's doing in his word. Amen. Because I want to tell you, the enemy is always going to what? Question the essence of who God is. He's going to question his exactness. He did it with Jesus. He'll do it with you. He's going to question what his enjoyment is, what he finds pleasure in. That's just what the world's going to do. Why? They didn't understand him and they ain't going to understand you. But you are his bride. Amen. And does he care for his bride? What did he do for his bride? Man, he laid his life down and shed his blood. Now he's washing her. He's washing her and cleansing her so that he could present her whole unto himself. And I want to tell you, we're all part of that. Amen. So if Jesus highly values his bride, I highly value her as well, which I'm part of. And it doesn't matter who says you don't need a pastor. It doesn't matter who says you don't need a family of God. Whoever says that, look, you just know you're dealing with somebody that still needs Jesus, that still needs him. Amen. Yeah, they may be your brother. They may be your sister. They may be a son or a daughter. They may be a close relative. But look, if they're questioning the very simplistic things of Jesus and what he has said, they're acting just like the devil did. Amen. So you recognize that. But I don't have to defend him, do I? What I do? I just declare him. I just declare him. Go and speak the words of this life. So today I've come just as a messenger. that tell you that when they try to lock you up and shut you up and silence you and cut you off, I want to tell you today, the great judge of heaven and earth has opened the door for you. And his command is an urgent command, go. His command is go find people wherever they are and go tell them all the words of this life. Amen. All the words of this life. Father, we thank you today. We bless you. We ask you to help us with this. You have freed us. You have made us free. I ask in these few moments that we are going to spend a minute singing and reflecting and pondering. You didn't give us this revelation so that we could just look at it. You gave it to bring clarity, to bring conviction, stir in us, to move us. Lord, to bring correction, to move us in a direction, in a right way, and confirm the life of righteousness your way. We don't have to have all the answers. We know you. You have them all. So we're just going to submit to you right now and thank you for it. Thank you that we can trust you, that we can depend on you, that we can look to you and lean on you. And thank you for your help. Thank you for your power, that we need your power to proclaim the gospel. We need your power to proclaim your goodness. We need it. We need it. So use us, Lord, in this life. We're already preaching. We're already going, but we want our actions and our affirmations and our attitudes, Lord, rooted in the result of hearing first from you. We want to live and walk by faith. So help us even this day go in your name. We're looking up to you. We're looking up to you and asking for your help. In Jesus' name, amen.